All right, let's move into the essence of our continuing ministering from the document, and rather repeat after me, scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity, from manifestation in time. Those that may be listening to this message on the internet, our website, Grace Gospel Ministry, that's TRY, gracegospelministry.com or .org. Amen. This document can be found either in our Doctrine or Discourse section, or if you're in to the audio section of our messages, you can click on the icon and this document will come up. We pray that everyone that's sitting here will have someone that has an extra copy of such. Maybe you, someone can give our guests their copy, loan it to them. Amen. We can move into our exposition this morning. All right. Let us turn to the section that we're in, which is section 4, or part 4 as we call it. Everyone repeat after me. Viewing the temporary worldly, from the heavenly eternal. What we are saying here, what we're doing, is in the world that we are in, the essence of what is going on in the world, or what we perceive is going on in the world, is not the actualized state of what's happening. What is happening, or what has happened, is in God's decree, in God's saying. When did he decree it? Everything is in eternality. We're in time. Time is a capsule. Time, listen to me, time is a creation. For the purpose of testimony, of God conveying all that he has done in eternity. It's brought up into sequences and it is measured out because we're finite creatures and we can only absorb so much at a time. Some of us more than others, and some of us less than others. Amen. Some of us can't deal with one thing at a time. Amen. Multitasking is not the virtues of some of us. Amen. But the essence of life and the essence of existence is what God has decreed in eternity. Amen. So life is much more than what we think it is. A brother before the service came up and told me about our neighbor across the street from where we grew up. She passed and she was some 97 years old. Well, that's a long time, but that's a long time in comparison to time parameters. If you live to be 100 years old, you have lived 1,200 months. You have lived 36,500 and some days. That is a long time, comparatively speaking, as we said, to time parameters. That's just a drop in the ocean, not a drop in the bucket. No. That's a drop in the ocean concerning forever. Right. How long is forever? Forever. Never ending. In eternality, there are no sequences. There's no such thing as time. If you read into the scriptures, it's all telling you that time will come to an end. And so your life is more than the fact that you are born and you're encapsulated in these bodies and you're placed into the world. God assigned your family and you grow up in it and go through school, and after that you finish school and perhaps in that fashion get some type of profession or some trade that you learn, and then you get married and hopefully you do it all in that order. It simplifies things. And you have children. Then time passes. You look up and whoops, as in my case, my children are grown. I got grandchildren. Then time passes and boom, the grandchildren are grown. And the Lord keeps you around a little longer, you got great grand. But sooner or later, what? It's checkout time. It's time to share these bodies. And so life has to be more than just what we're doing. Because whatever you have done in time, whatever you have accomplished, and whatever they say at your homegoing, whatever eulogy is conveyed concerning you, is all in the past. But the essence of life is our eternal existence in Christ, which most of us don't think of. Most of us, we are so absorbed with the mundane things of the world. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pay attention and be cognizant of the things around you, and you shouldn't participate in the things around you. But your life is more than that. It's such a short time in comparison with eternity. And many of the ministries, their focus is on here and now. And of course, yeah, we want to deal with the here and the now, but as we are conveying here, we are viewing the temporary world from where? From the eternal heavenly. In other words, we're looking down on this life instead of around in this life. And so we get the total picture of existence.
Right.
Now we had moved to, I'm trying to finish this section because I want to, before we take our break for the summer, trying to finish this volume one document, which I have one part left, which is part five. Amen. But it's pretty exhaustive. So hopefully within the next couple of outings, we can finish and complete section five. Four. Let's go to page 107 in our document. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. In conjunction with what we were dealing with last week out of 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 8. Let's start reading this morning. Oh, our time is a little behind. Amen. We're going to run a little over. It is so cold outside, I couldn't imagine you going anywhere but home when you leave here. Romans chapter 8, let's start with verse 14.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 14th verse.
Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for if ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father.
Verse 16.
The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, keep going. Now we're getting into the meat of this thing.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
That doesn't mean too much to God's people. You know, you said, hey, I need my bills paid. I need, you know, I'm looking at this situation in my life, and you know, it's not the best thing. Things don't look too promising here. Huh? Hmm? All right, read.
Verse 19. Mm-hmm. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God.
All right, let's go to the Greek now. For the sake of time, Elder, let's start verse 16.
Romans chapter 8, the 16th verse.
Well, no, we're going to run a little over this morning. Let's go back to verse 15. You know, you rush out of here, and there's something out there waiting to just beat you all up. Mm-hmm. Amen. Let's get some of this armor. Mm-hmm. Huh? The Word of God.
Amen.
To deal with the situations that are surely going to confront us.
Surely.
Verse 15.
Verse 15 in the Interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For ye receive not a spirit of slavery
That's
again.
That's not what we have with the entanglements of this life. For the enlightened mind does not enslave such a one. You're not held down by the bondage of life. Fearful. And the things that we fear the most are the things we don't understand. The less we understand, the more we fear. On the other hand, and this is why we're taking time to go through this, the more you understand, the less you fear. You know, I gave the example of the ice maker in my house. That thing was making a noise. I know it's home alone, and I kept hearing this noise. And I said, nah, it's some animal, some guy in the house is knocking things over. So I just went on downstairs and I listened for the next time because it was like in a cycle. Next time that thing's vroom, that was the ice maker. We had a new refrigerator in the house. I don't think I even heard that thing anymore after that. Now, what replaced the alarm? Knowledge. Understanding. Comprehension. This is what Paul is dealing with here. The things that we comprehend and understand serve as what drives and sets forth our confidence. The more you know, the less you are alarmed, or perturbed, or disturbed. All right, read.
But ye receive a spirit of adoption,
uh-huh,
by which we cry, Abba Father.
Okay, that word eothesios is literally translated son positioning. You position in Christ. When were you positioned in Christ? Before you were ever placed in the world, because you were positioned in Christ in eternity before the beginning of the world.
Right.
What does that entail? Read.
In himself, the Spirit, witness with the Spirit of us,
uh-huh,
that we are children of God.
We see the bondage, and through it we cry, Abba, Father. which speaks of that personal relationship that we have with God.
Amen.
And again, that entails what now?
And the children,
mm-hmm,
also heirs.
Heirs. Heirs. Heirs of God. And what else?
Heirs on one hand of God.
Here we have this Greek construction here. Main and fe, which actually works like this. I'm going to say this on the one hand, and I'm going to say this on the other. You know, on the one hand this, on the other hand that. Sometimes you have the positive here and the negative here. Sometimes you have both positives.
Right, right.
Hmm? Which is a double blessing.
Amen.
So if you don't catch the good blessing on this hand, you catch it on that hand.
Yeah.
Read.
Joint heirs on the other of Christ.
Uh-huh. So we have, on the one hand, heirs of God. On the other hand, we have joint heirs of that which belongs to Christ. Now, what are you going to do with this? Does this serve to buffer the things of this life? Listen to me. Will this serve to buffer the things of this life? You're not going to escape anything that God has decreed and set as part of your journey through this life.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care how many messages you sit and hear from so-called mega churches.
No.
You can do this, this, and this. Five ways, you know, how you can avoid this and do this and that and the other. If you do that, you plug this in, you get that right. You know, God is a computer. You plug in the right formula, you come out with the right thing, and all of this. That's foolishness. Whatever God has caused for you is yours to bear, to go through. Now, here's what he's saying. Read.
Since,
you see that? That's epa. That's actually translated if indeed. It equates to since. Man is born of a woman, what? Some men. All men. Five ways to keep from suffering. I'm just paraphrasing. You know, five ways to get out of debt. Five ways to do this. Five ways to get what you want. And God, so forth and so on. And then that thing goes the opposite. Now you're confused. Maybe you didn't do it right. No. No. Since we suffer. What?
Since we suffer with him in order that also we may be glorified.
Oh my God. You see that I gotta stop it, even don't get through. That Greek verb is sinrosos to me. It is in the subjunctive mood. What? And that's why we go to the Greek. Yeah, because we want to draw out the essence of what's really being said here. What is the subjunctive mood?
Probability.
So something that may happen.
No.
No. Let's just deal with manifestation. A probability is something that might happen. May happen. But it's in the aorist tense. What are we talking about here? Glorification. Maybe having been, and so if you go back up here to if indeed the essence of those who are sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ, amen, that is a fact because that occurred in eternity,
yes,
before you ever got here.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
So, holy one in Christ transcends the world and the situation. operations of the world and the essence of what we see on the matrix.
Yes. Thank God.
So what are you going to do with this, Paul? Read.
I reckon.
Hold it. Stop. That's actually translated calculate. You know, when you say, I reckon, I remember some years ago, my father, our small, her family, we was traveling through and we got kind of lost. And we stopped and old farmer said, do you know what so-and-so? He said, I reckon that's about 5 miles down the road. He said, I'm not sure exactly. No. Paul is not reckoning. He's not saying, I think he is. No. I calculate. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Present indicative.
That's an indicative. What's the indicative mood?
The fact.
You're not reckoning a fact. That's something that you know. You reckon what?
I reckon for that not worthy the suffering of the now time to be compared with the coming glory to be revealed to us.
Oh my God. Now whatever you're going through now, that's nothing compared with the glory that shall be revealing us. Right now I'm thinking about my bills. No. Oh, God help us.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Paul dealt with that thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. I think we talked about that last week. And here he uses a Greek grammatical construction there. Is ephebaline. That is, basically, the word ephebaline can be transliterated hyperbole. Hyperbole, when you stack something great on top of another. And so, he said, above exceeding. Exceedingly above exceeding.
Amen.
Here he was speaking about the glory shall be revealed in us. Oh my God, shame on the church that we haven't highlighted that. Because if you don't highlight that, and all you're expecting is to get out of debt, you're going to be disappointed because you're going to get in debt again.
Amen.
You were born in debt. And so these are the things that we must understand and prioritize what? The unseen, what? Over the seen.
Amen. Yes.
Prioritize that which is eternal over that which is temporary.
Yes.
So that whatever goal in this life, amen, you don't look at that and say, I can't be happy until this is resolved, but that's resolved. Yes, you can.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Mm-hmm.
Paul writes in one instance, he said, I glory in tribulation.
Yes. Yes.
What are you, Paul, are you crazy? No. I'm looking at the total purpose. Rather than just what's before me. All right, keep reading the others, man. Oh, that cock is beating me up. Go ahead.
Amen. Verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
For the anxious watching creation.
Stop. In the King James, that is translated earnest expectations. Actually, just break this down. The thing I'm really looking for and dependent upon.
Right.
What is it that you are really dependent upon?
Numbers.
Your bills being paid is not enough. You being healed from some ailment is not enough.
Not enough.
perfect relationship with your loved ones, that's great, but it's not enough. What is it that you are really, 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 really looking forward to it in the sense of depending upon it? Read.
For the anxious watching of the creation,
mm-hmm.
the revelation
mm-hmm.
of the sons of God
uh-huh. what?
Is eagerly expecting.
Eagerly expecting. What is it? Is it physical?
Nope.
The totality of things, is it? Are they, is it physical?
No.
Is it sexual?
No.
Is it natural?
No.
What is it? Above all, that you're dependent upon and looking to and eagerly, eagerly awaiting. Let's go to our document. Page 107, second paragraph where it says eternal viewing. Everybody got that?
Yes.
And for those that may be listening
to
the message, starts out eternal viewing, identifies. Everybody got that? Say amen. Eternal viewing identifies and internalizes present actuality, transcendentally above all manifestly earthly dispositions, as such are now perceived. Formerly, God bears with the ages of insultingly depraved creation, which his purpose entertains. In divine patience. Ultimately, his divine decree conquers all opposition
Amen.
To his perfect nature. And manifestly transforming the release of peace into the moral of discipline. In this way, he manifests good out of the evil of sin in the demonstrative austerity, yet detachment seen in the life of Christ, as well as accounts of certain saints' lives having not been caused to be discouraged and fearful. This is what Paul's testimony is about. Feeling disciplined and unable to follow such examples should simply be considered as indeed human depravity at variance with God. Or as sad does the foolishness of nothingness pull humanity away from God to even misery and guilt. And the sinful nature prevents one from drawing near to God. Yet grace, everybody say grace, can still draw God close to the despicable. Man is truly pitiful on his side of the barrel because he is neither free to approach nor run away. Even though the sinful nature is excluded from favor in eternality, God has not ever departed, for he patiently avails manifestation of what? His elect's glorification. Now, next verse we had broken down here. The last verse we read, Romans 18:9-18, stating again, for the earnest expectation of creation looks for the revealing of the sons of God. Here we have a Greek noun here, apokalypse. Rathokia, apokarathokia. It is rendered earnest expectation, eagerly awaiting. Notes to long for, watch for, with one's mind stretched out, or to eagerly hope and anticipate the time when Tongyeon told to Pharaoh, rendered the sons of God would be revealed. In other words, the essence of who I am in Christ, son position, in the body of Christ, exceeds all that around me, excels, I should say, all that's around me.
Yeah.
It means more to me than whether my bills are paid. Because that's all we're hearing from the pulpit now. Means more to me as to whether I'm healed or not. Because that's all that's coming from the pulpits now. Means more to me than even my earthly assigned relationships. Because that's all coming from me, coming right from the pulpit now. I should majority-wise, and that's not all, I shouldn't say all.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of those things.
Sure.
Your hope is an eternal hope.
Beautiful.
Your hope transcends the things of this life, of this earth, of this world, that you are daily encountering.
Amen.
Christ is your hope.
Yeah.
Your life is about Christ and who you are in Him. Now I know that doesn't resonate with many, and so they won't preach that, but as long as it says so in here, that's what we're going with.
Amen.
Look at this. In addition, earth's expectation belongs to creation, that is, the creation itself. And here we have the Greek word apikpekete, which is rendered looks for, expects, anticipates, and waits for the ultimate event of this glorious transformation from depraved physicality. Our best days are not in the realm of this life.
Nope.
Your best existence, your glorious existence, your blissfulness, your complete serenity,
that's right,
is not in this life.
It's not.
Thank God.
No way.
And yeah, we deal with this life. But the essence of our existence transcends beyond. Now, as long as this is what in the Word of God, this is what we're going with. I don't care what seems to resonate with me. It doesn't matter. What resonates with my flesh, it doesn't matter. What captivates my interest, it doesn't matter.
Come on.
What I'm interested in, it doesn't matter.
Come on here.
Oh, glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God. Yes.
The thing that is revealed comes from the same. What God has said, not what I see, not what I think I see.
I hear you, God.
This event, the essence of the horizon of pure spirituality, embarks, here we have the Greek word apokalypsin. Apokalypsin is rendered revelation. In other words, seeing what's really there.
Right.
The essence of what life really is. It can't be what I'm dealing with every day because it's constantly changing. It's moving. Hope cannot be in this life.
Amen.
Because as I look down the road, I see men ahead of me that are going on here. Nobody stays here. Oh, you can try to hold on as long as you can, but everybody's going out of here.
I hear you.
Then, no. I, Pastor, don't preach that. We came to hear a good message. This is a good message.
Amen. 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 God.
Hallelujah. Hey, you don't have hope.
Yes. Amen.
You don't have joy. You don't have peace. There's no hope for it in this life.
I hear you.
Glory to God.
I hear you.
Glory
to
God. Oh, glory.
can't be at peace in this life.
Amen.
Because you're not looking at this life, you're looking at the essence of what's beyond this life.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, they're not going to tell you that.
No.
They can't fill a place with that.
Amen.
And the ministry won't preach it because of the people who won't hear that.
Amen.
We're commissioned to preach what the people will hear. We're commissioned to preach the Word of God.
Oh,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
I tell all the ministry, you preach what's there. Somebody don't like it, okay. Amen. We love you.
Amen.
Huh? But your priest was there.
Amen. Thank God. Oh.
Look at this. Manifestation of the sons of God is the genocide of glorification. Didn't we just dealt with that, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Hence, eternality involves actuality. Of eternal hope that is reserved in participation of his testimonial depiction. I know, and I go in our present minds, it's hard for us to relate. Oh my God, to close your eyes and move out of time into eternity. Oh my God, to awaken in the arms of Jesus, position. As a son of God, position in eternality, the greatest of all God's creations, in Him.
Yeah.
And this is why Paul could say, "I'm ready to be offered."
That's what he said.
Huh?
Yeah.
He says, "A crown of righteousness waiting for me." He's talking about his place in the body of Christ. And this is why he could say to those Ephesians after he left, he said, "I count not my life dear to me." Paul once said, "Well, I walk around looking for a death wishing his life." No, no. What he is saying is, that in comparison, the entire aspect of existence is so much greater. There's no comparison. And if we do all these things, we can be happy now. Shouldn't have to wait till we get to funerals or homecomings to talk about this. This is not a death lesson. This is a life lesson.
Oh, yes. Amen.
Hey, glory to God.
Thank God.
Even if I'm sick and pain is racking my body, the essence of this overrules it.
Yeah.
Even if I'm broken, I lose my house, I lose my car, I lose whatever. Amen. The essence of eternity overrules it. We've been messed up in this country.
Yes, come on,
Pastor.
Bring it down.
Any letters that I get from third world countries, what we call third world countries, we're talking about Asia and Africa. And even in some parts of Europe, we're getting this information. You know what they're saying? They're saying, what's attracted by this ministry is you can preach it.
Mm-hmm.
We can preach it.
Come on now. Come on now. Mm-hmm.
Because if we start talking about the prosperity and all of that in the backwoods, in the back terrains of where the world is not industrialized, they have an idea what we're talking about. We can preach this. Well, things are not about to change soon. We can preach this.
Yeah.
Ah, your milk is about to come. You make some line for milk. You just wait. It's coming. It's coming. You remember the body of Christ? That's your miracle.
Amen.
in about 15 minutes. We're going to go a little over this morning. The essence of eternal viewing, everybody say eternal viewing.
Eternal viewing.
The essence of eternal viewing exudes the spiritual heavenless faculties, which were and are accomplished in God's decreed purpose. Facilitations of earthly viewing should be assessed strictly in deference. You know what deference means. That means to defer, that you take second place, you take the second position.
Right.
So, these earthly things should be strictly in deference, or taking the second position,
right,
to attesting in spiritual matters. The top of page 108. Physical faculties, everybody said physical faculties, must never be construed as purposes in themselves, but solely as acts in contention of God exhibiting, of exhibiting God's manifold varied form wisdom. Ephesians 3 and 10. We are his what? We're his doings. And so they take the second place. Now here's something that's going to help you. His daily dispositions must be translated through the flowering of faith rather than the flaws of fate. Okay, let's take a sidebar, as the attorney would say. Let's go to, you might say, woo! Let's go to Proverbs. As a corroborator. Now the essence of the information is Ephesians 3:10, which we have gone through in prior times. But it's corroborated in Proverbs, 21:19? Someone turn to that. All right, Elder, read that. Proverbs 21:19.
It is better to dwell in the wilderness.
No, that's not it. Is it looking for the one that speaks of the devices of men? Starts off by the devices of men. Okay, I've called it the wrong scripture, but it says that the devices of men, I'm paraphrasing this, are overruled by the counsel of God, which prevails. Devices of men are the plans of men
overruled.
By the purpose of God.
Oh,
in other words, the plans and devices of men are the pursuits and exploits of men are in deference to the purpose of God.
Amen.
So whatever's going on out here, whatever a plan by leaders, by countries, by economists, by whatever, that's their plan. That doesn't mean that's what it, that is what it is. All right, keep going. We'll find that and bring that back to you next week, exactly what it is. His daily dispositions must be translated through the flattering of faith rather than the flaws of fate. Prioritize devotion in life. Everybody say prioritize devotion. For prioritize devotion in life does not imply great tenderness in earthly transpires to the point where one is convinced of such to the exclusion of the ultimate end. You don't get so caught up in that thing that that's what life is. Comprehensions and eternal revolutions do not demand immediate answers in respect of instilling comfort and confident assurance. Eternal revelations themselves are what must motivate petitions in every prayer. Lord, Lord, your what?
Your will.
Your will what?
It's done.
We pray, and then, Lord, your will is done. Not I want what I want, and I won't be satisfied until I get what I want. Lord, your will is done. And loyal ones abide firm and unshaken, while uninformed ones withdraw from God's consoling presence. Behold, this is the consideration that plunges deep into his divine ways and exclaims, Father, your will is done and all things are amen. That's the end of it. That's the way we end our prayer. Closeness of adherence to the conception of eternal viewing depends on the manner in which it is internalized in perception. It is spiritual posturing rather than physical exuding that exhibits the mode in which one faithfully trusts God in the manifestation of his will. Whose will did we say? God's will. There is perseverance and allegiance to viewing eternality in the grace covenants. Enlightened conveyances extols the masterful workings of God's ultimate purpose. Everybody say God's ultimate purpose. Our spiritual assessments of events and occurrences depict testimony rather than physical evaluations. It's unreliable. So what we're saying, we're trying to say basically, we're reading the pastor's pen. No matter how you view that thing or push that thing or where you take that thing, don't rely on that. Manifest circumstantial encounters do not dominate the confidences of the scripturally informed. Have not internalized training the role of earthly activities and their bodily modifications in eternal intentions, merely view incidents as accidents in lieu of God's display of his decree by extraordinary means. His spiritual comprehension, everybody says spiritual comprehension, redounds to the awareness of peace and confidence. Here, perhaps some may object. If eternal viewing is so important, then how did some of the earthly Christian predecessors and even men of God's people today practice such great austerity, that is, severity of discipline, in service of God without it? In other words, if this is what it takes for us to really be down or bound over the things around us, how did the early people do it? Same way we do it. The obvious answer is that they were called to their commissioned service in Christ, who also gave them strength to walk on this path in a manner pleasing to himself, yet not meritorious of them. You know, last week I was telling you that, don't go into the 11th chapter of Hebrews talking about Hebrew heroes of faith. I don't use that word. That which is testified of them, they were called to do. In addition, God bestows this grace on all through his processes in these instances that mainly avail eternal imaging. Hence, he destines in each of his elect a particular course and places on each road all aid necessary for its designated travelers.
Amen.
God's will, Everybody say God's will.
God's will
does not oppose the ultimate good, but magnifies eternal intentions over ill-behooved thinking that fate imbues one's wasting time traveling on the different roads when such transverse themselves. What are we saying here? I better stop here and deal with this. When you look at God's will, does not ever oppose the ultimate good. What is the ultimate good? What God has decreed.
Amen.
That's the best thing going, what God has decreed.
Amen.
You listen to me this morning now. Because someone's struggling because you're praying for something and it's not coming out. And it's frustrating you.
Amen.
Or maybe it seems to be getting worse. You'll be saying, God's will don't seem to be working too well for me. If you don't watch it.
Amen.
But it magnifies eternal intentions. Everybody say eternal intentions.
Eternal intentions.
What God is working out through that thing.
That's right.
Which works for you,
uh-huh.
Not against you. And so he worketh all things together for what? For good. Not for bad. For good for those loving him, for whom he calls to love him. And because I can't see each other's intentions, and this thing is just beating me up. Lord, can you just do it the way I want, just this one time? Don't you pray that prayer.
No.
Oh, no, you don't.
No. Albert, thank you.
But eternal intentions over ill or whole thinking that fate. You remember that section that back in this document, same document here, that conjoining fate and free will. An episode produces what?
Futility.
No such thing as fate or free will. It's like, what, God made the world and then created the world and then he just stepped back and said, well, okay, let's just see what happens. He just is surprised to you when stuff happens. You go, woo, God goes, woo! In other words, he's a creator, but he's not a designer. He's not a planner. And so what is ill-behooved thinking? That fate imbues wasting time traveling along different roads. And such
numbers
cross each other.
Oh, helpful. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah.
So now you're all confused about life.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, life is a drag. You know, oh, gosh. I don't know what else is going to go wrong. And I can talk that we've been there. Done that. On any given day, that's me until the Spirit comes along and rescues me.
Amen. Amen.
Let's finish this up. Unfortunately, this thinking of this cogitation forced a pass off as genuine, many errors of perceptions in respect to true spiritual devotion as reviled against exercises in physicality rather than eternality. You've gone down a road of frustration when you dump eternality for physicality. If you prioritize physicality over eternity. We end with this today. God's people live according to measures of imparted grace.
Right.
And this is how it works, and this is why we've spent an hour talking to you.
Amen. Amen.
Imparted grace and imputed consciousness in spiritual welfare. Everybody says spiritual welfare. None is reflectively obliged due to human inertness. That is when you're not able to move devoutly, to sufficiently adopt spirituality. This is what God works within. He works within you what?
The will
and to do of what?
His
good pleasure. I know, but just by saying this to say, man, go out and you get this and so forth. No. As the Holy Spirit, His will, you receive this information. And it is the means and processes by which He causes you to walk according to His will. That's the way it works. It is very important to ascertain that adherence in devotional exercises is inextricably tied to spirituality, whereas austerity, that is, the severity of discipline, regime, expressions, or design of this realm, resides where? Solely in eternality. This discipline, in other words, what's going to stabilize you is your knowledge of the eternal aspect of things. In other words, you're looking down in life and you're going through this, but you're not looking around in it. You're looking down on it. And this is what stabilizes you. This particular insight leads away from physicality. In all respect of what is bound in unendingly paradigms or patterns of the way trodden by the loftiest and safest imitations of life. This is true of the creed obligations in every minute detail of such manifesting realistically in existence. God's actions are to be intimated solely what? Spiritually. As He is the source of all spiritually enabled deeds, great pains should be taken reasonably and lovingly extolling the sole manner of footsteps and testimony ultimately explicated well in eternality. Now, indulge me, just one paragraph. I know I said one more. In this view, some often ask, how or in what manner are the spiritual considered more important than the physical? Let me just take this on here with you. How is the spiritual more important than the physical? What does this mean, realistically speaking? Spirituality definitively defines the predominant faults of depravity and guards against it. Still are patterns in human goodwill never genuinely proper as morals in physicality any more than feigning strictness through self-restraint. Doesn't work that way. The inherent traits of spirituality consist an overview of the pain and carnality experiences, and raging criticisms of eternal viewing from the futile blows of physical manifestation and reproaches of establishing anything abidingly secure, temperaments of enduring entities engender the preserving of recollections and compliance with what? Spirituality. Often spiritual traits appear trifling, but in reality, they are far weightier than physicality's influences. No matter how irrelevant eternal viewing may be construed in human reasoning, it is never far from the spiritual solitude of realizing the secret of everlasting entities. We run a little over. God bless you. We'll take it up next week.
Come on, get a load of hands. Thank God.